The board did a very, very good thing. Aside from the vote, the 8-2 vote, to allow Purpich to take over management of Crosswinds, the first vote, the 7-3 vote, was to go back and reopen the school since they had legally closed the schools for next year, assuming that Purpich and Roseville would take over. Since it didn't happen in May, their current vote was to rescind the closing of school for this upcoming year. And it's only done for a year, and that was done strategically and on purpose because their hope, and for those of you that attended the board meeting and or watched the tape, you could kind of hear in their questions the expectation of a number of the board members, probably 8 of them, is that we would get legislative approval and go forward. And that is the intent. EMID leadership and EMID board is, they got what they wanted. They want to be out of managing the school's business. I understand that. I applaud them for recognizing their need to do that, and they don't want to go back into it. And so we will manage this year. That's something that they have offered, and we will do. The Purpich Center Board of Directors approved it 100% unanimous Friday morning. They were quite excited about it, quite supportive of the EMID community. A group from the EMID families had visited with the Purpich Center Board a couple of months ago. My board has been kept informed throughout this process. They understand what it means to keep Crosswinds open, and they're fully supportive of the Purpich Center leadership in doing whatever we can to make that happen. So that's what we're going to do. It's the two most important issues for me right now are staffing. Not that we can't get staff. We'll have plenty of staff, but I'd really like to the best of our ability, protect the individuals that are here now. It is true we're under no obligation to hire any current person, but I've always stated that they'd have priority, and they do. So I will be here all day tomorrow with members from the State Administration Human Resources. We've been working all weekend looking at contracts. There's always a change. It would be if a teacher goes from this district to this district, there are changes. Same with going from EMID to the state of Minnesota, there are changes. We've evaluated and assessed all positions. Nobody will take a pay cut. I wouldn't allow that anyway. There will be no pay cuts, and some will actually earn a little more in accordance to the state system. And there are different benefits. And so I'm very optimistic that as we meet with individuals tomorrow, we will be able to give them a good idea as to where they would fall in terms of their benefits, because that's always, as an employee, that's really important. I'm very sensitive to the fact that they have been through a most difficult time. It has been horrendous. You just don't treat employees this way, or families this way, or students this way, and everyone's tired. A little exhilarated, but some still tired. And so I expect that some of the teachers will choose to leave, but I want to guarantee you that that is not going to affect the culture, the community, or the program. One of the reasons we came into this in the first place is in recognition that the synergy between the Purpich Center for Arts Education and Crosswinds were so good, so strong, that both organizations believe in education that reaches every child. Both believe in education that really embraces the inquisitive, experiential model. And both believe strongly in integration. So it's just such a perfect fit with our mission. And that will continue. One of the things that makes it strong, and I believe helped very much with some board members in making their decisions, is that for almost 30 years, Purpich has been doing professional development in schools throughout Minnesota. So that side of Purpich really understands pulling groups together and culture together. And so I really feel without question, the goal I've always had for students especially is no gap. May miss some people, but no gap in the learning and the opportunities and in the kind of program and openness and opportunities that are here. So that has always been the focus, and it continues to be the focus. In terms of students, that's critical. That's critical. We need to be able to keep enrollment. We're doing a number of things. You are doing a number of things to keep students that are already attending. Next Wednesday, the Harambe principal is going to send a letter to the fifth grade students in Harambe, along with an application form for Crosswinds, inviting them and encouraging them to come to Crosswinds, those who had planned to do so. And so it really is a situation where this school survived, and it will continue to survive, and it has great support for everyone. So I'm happy to address questions. I'm sure there are some. I'm really used to it here. Anything goes. You have, yes.
To the issue of staff, there was a point at which it sounded like they had lost tenure and seniority and so forth. Will they get that back or start from scratch?
Very, very good question. The question was, will staff lose tenure? When we first submitted a bill for the legislature, we protected staff and indicated that all their tenure would come with them, and that is our intent again. What we will do is, with the various labor groups, do what's called a memo of understanding. Purpage wants everyone to retain all of their tenure and rights, and that's where they will be placed. And so we just have to have the unions agree to, the teachers union and other unions, to a memo of understanding, which is a fairly simple process. And we don't want anyone to lose anything. So full rights, no.
I might add, though, a number of teachers who've decided to go to other districts,
yeah,
Purpich has no control over. And
yeah,
so those districts are doing,
yeah,
what they do. And
sure.
Do
yeah. Yeah. And again, I met with staff on Thursday morning, and expressed to them, as I did when we started this process, that I'm very understanding of what they've been through, and that some of them, for other reasons, may need to leave. They're tired. They've been through a lot, and I understand that. And so whatever happens, we'll be okay with it. Tomorrow gives them a good opportunity to, that's not me speeding, is it? Tomorrow is a good opportunity for them to ask questions and see where they are, and to welcome them staying here. I will tell you, I've had over the weekend an awful lot of resumes have been sent from non-current Crosswinds teachers, and one of the reasons why I'm so certain that even if some teachers leave, we'll still protect that community that this school was designed for because of our professional development. I've identified a professional development specialist from Purpich who will be here before day one to work with teachers and staff, and we will fill gaps very quickly. Yes?
What will the school year look like? I haven't looked at Purpich as you know, we're very unique with our year-round schooling. And then a secondary, how will the programming be restored more to what it was 2 or 3 years ago versus what it's become due to the issues?
Very good question. The question is, how will the programming look? Purpich is different than Crosswinds, and how will we restore cuts that came here two years ago and previously? First of all, they're different schools, and they both deserve their own identity. We're not going to change Crosswinds. That you still will have the program that you have in terms of IB and AVID and other things. The name doesn't change. It's Crosswinds. This is Crosswinds, and what you have in terms of programming will be continued. In terms of restoring things, I think that you lost some after-school programs and maybe some summer or weekend programs. And as budgets allow or as other staff are willing to step in, we will restore those. But the primary concern in the beginning is to take it from where it is today and stabilize it and keep that program the same.
Are we staying with a full year-round schedule?
Yes, thank you for asking that. Yes, you will be staying on a year-round schedule. That's one thing that early on, 30 years ago, when perpetual legislation was written, we've always been able to run our own schedules. So the year-round schedule for Crosswinds will continue.
So I have a follow-up to that. I live in Roseville, and I talked to John Tyne and Katie Goggins from there. I know Roseville is also committed to keeping the year-round school at the Round A. And so that's important because then many families have kids in either both schools or who will be in one school moving to the next. So that year-round calendar will be important to maintain, you know, the same for multiple kids in the
yes.
same family. So both Harambe and Crossing for the year-round.
Good point, that both schools will maintain year-round.
Can we assume that the calendars will be the same?
Between Harambe and
Crossing?
I haven't seen Harambe's calendar, but they, if they've been the same in the past, they likely will continue to be the same.
It's very similar than it has been in the past with just a few tweaks here and there, but like the major breaks and stuff are the same as it's been.
Yes.
And last, the giant elephant, the busing.
The busing, the giant elephant. We have approval from the Department of Education. We will continue busing. There should not be any change. The only difference in transportation is that the funds for transportation come directly to the Purpich Center instead of to the school districts. It comes directly to us, so it's the same. It will be the same. The busing will be similar to what you have now, which I understand is not necessarily door-to-door, but close to door-to-door. Those who have open enrollment will follow the same program that you do now, but there will be transportation. Yes?
What kind of impact will the kids see? I mean, I just was wondering, like, when they come, what's the impact the kids are going to see, if any? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yes, it's a very good question.
From a kid's point of view, what's going to change for their point of view?
Very good question. The question was, what kind of impact will the students feel and see? Well, the first thing they'll notice when they come in is that there's a lot of jubilation because we will be celebrating as soon as they come. Will they feel a difference? Yes, if some of their teachers are gone, as in the Arts High School, the you know there's strong personal ties to your teacher, but they will have the ability and the help to make new friendships with teachers. But they'll if their teacher, if their favorite teacher isn't here, they'll feel that. But otherwise, the intent is to make it as consistent. Same good food, same great staff handling maintenance to make it as consistent as it is now for them.
Will there be any change in the overall operating budget for this school?
Will there be change in the overall operating budget? From what I can see is we've compared budgets for the last number of years. My hope is that we'll go back to building some kind of a reserve that was taken away. But in terms of operation, we'll be stretched a little on our managerial side. Purpich will be filling some of those gaps with a little overworking here and there, but the leadership team is ready for that. It's a matter of knowing the funds you have and applying them appropriately. So I think that when we looked at funding on the legislatively, when we were looking at funding the State Finance Office, Minnesota Management and Budget, and the Department of Education had determined that it was a budget neutral thing. In other words, all costs, all current costs were covered by what would come in. The benefit that we have is that we have access to some funds that EMID did not have access to from the Department of Education. Not new dollars from Purpich, but new dollars to Crosswinds. And how nice that the general fund has been increased. And so we see areas where money that had been taken away from the school won't be taken away from the school. I've already told EMID we're going after the integration dollars. We will get compensatory dollars, and we will expect full per pupil, not partial per pupil. Not all of it has been coming back. Well, and that's really where it should be. The money should follow the students. It needs to follow the students.
Speaking of funding, as far as the title funding, the title staff, which would be like your special ed and English language learners and such, are we going to be sharing staff with Purpich Center? Are they? Is there going to be a merging of those departments because of budgetary issues, or is Crossman's going to have their own central staff?
The question is, will there be a merging with Purpich staff on some of the special education, 504 counseling, things of that sort? I think that, you know, Purpich is set up for its volume, and Crosswinds is set up for its volume. If they're sharing, it tends to be more in that managerial level and strategic planning, but in terms of the day-to-day people providing services, I've already talked to 916 and some of the individuals that are already providing, and I think that I don't honestly expect there to be a sharing. You have to have people here, not running back and forth. There may be some instances where some employees, i.e. finance staff, top administration, some teachers that may want to go back and forth and try some things, but in terms of direct care to students, you will be with staff Crosswinds according to its complete needs.
I just want to break in for a second. I got a question of, will there be sign-up sheets so that people can sign in? Your students register today. Yes, I'm handing around the ones that are for returning students, but we also have the sheets for new students. So if you need a new student sheet, they're up on the table as well.
Yes, talk to your friends and neighbors.
Will there be intercession offered?
I think there's some intercession now, am I correct? For just two quarters, I think there's one quarter. I think your intercession was cut, right? Am I right on that? I believe intercession was cut, and it only happens twice instead of three times, right?
I think it's three times.
No, intercession happens. It's after school that only happens during two terms instead of all four.
Right.
So intercession
two were cut out, and I think that what we would do is keep those, and as I say, as funds permit, add more when necessary. Or when you can. Yes.
Is Brian Matt returning as principal?
I'm sorry?
Brian Matt.
Well, I haven't spoken directly to Brian yet, but it's my understanding that Brian has accepted another position, and I would expect that he would keep that other position. It's a little hard to change on principalships. And
so
I don't want to speak for him.
What are we doing?
But tomorrow I will speak with him.
So what are you doing?
Oh, we have some things in place, some things in mind. We have a couple of ideas, and tomorrow after I formally speak with Brian and Stacy, who has also been offered a principalship, then we will put in place once I know who's staying and who isn't. But I would prefer to wait until I have an opportunity to speak to each of them.
With the difference in the number of students that will be here, you don't know how many will be here, actually.
Correct.
You can't say it'll be more or less or whatever, but because of that fluctuation, do you have any thoughts on how to handle that?
Yeah. How do you handle fluctuation in number of students? Have we given that any thought? We've given that a great deal of thought. One of the things that's helpful is that we have a number of individuals here and on the Purpich side who can help deal with numbers. How many students are going to be in this class? And again, the teachers will have some say in that because they have opinions as to how many students they prefer or want in a class. And that's something that's going to be somewhat fluid until we get numbers that allow us to do more planning. But I'm not concerned about that, and I know that the 500 students that will sign up. No, I think it's going to fall into place fairly rapidly. But yes, we have thought of all angles. The I have a very strong leadership team at Purpage, and we have dissected every aspect of this, and we have an extremely strong and wonderful board of directors.
Can I break in for 1 sec? There was a question about the form, and yes, this form is good enough for Crosswinds to know your student is coming back, and actually the sooner we get those back, the better we are able to do the kind of planning she was just talking about. With regard to other districts, you may have enrolled as a Plan B in another district. You can do whatever you want in regard to that. That won't make a difference to Crosswind's ability to enroll your student. But you know, in your own time, you probably will want to notify those districts so that people on waiting lists and such can get into other schools.
I want to do a follow-up to her question regarding support services and student services. One of the things that that we are learning, of course, is that Crosswind shared some positions with Harambe. And what we are learning as we go through each position is what position is not going to be shared with Roseville. Roseville seems to be eliminating most all positions that they shared with Crosswinds. So we then have some individuals who have gone from a full-time position to a 0.5 if in fact they stay where they are. So in cases like that, if we have opportunity to share to fill those gaps or feel that we can do that here, we will do so. So that they're not left out. Yes, Mike.
I just wanted to say to you, not that you seeing a room felt like this would forget it, but the last several years, I think, the parents and families have been underutilized in terms of helping. And so I know in the past, my wife, who maybe isn't big on this kind of organized event, but she had gone through like a classroom helper. So again, as you get into the nitty-gritty of class size and everything else, I know there's legal stuff, it's not like a real teacher anyway, but there are a number of parents who, whether it's during the day, they serve as volunteers, help us get through this year, whatever it takes. I can't imagine there isn't a person in this room beyond who wouldn't rise to a call for such help if it made something viable without them. So just keep that in mind. I don't think many of us were trapped into this to be more than the last few years and just want to call them.
That's great to know, and it's one of the things that Wednesday with the board, when I talked about the fact that this is a partnership, I meant that the Enid families have been tremendous. The staff here has been tremendous. And it will take all of us to put this together because of the unfinished business. This should have happened in February, March, April, or May. And so it will take all of us, but I know that we can do it. And the bottom line is, it's the right thing to do. So I appreciate that, Mike. And we'll probably send a note out through Enid Families on those kinds of opportunities available. Yes?
Question, now that Purpich is running in both districts, on the Amputon, is the ease of migration for the students from one to the other going to change, or is it going to be 10th grade to 11th grade?
Oh, do I see it changing because of Purpich?
Yeah, because you're running both programs?
No, I think that one of the things that's really very important is the Arts High School is a statewide school. And our mission statewide is absolutely critical. It's part of its community and culture. Will it mean that more students from here may apply? Probably, just because they get to know, much like I've spoken to a number of people who live in this area and they don't know anything about Crosswinds. When you become more familiar, then there's that excitement. But Purpich Arts High School is different in that it is such a strong arts focus, and there are different foci here. And so, the intent from the very beginning was never to use Crosswinds as a feeder. It's to keep Crosswinds void where it is and a wonderful school that it is. Yes?
I have a couple more questions. Once you figure out what teachers are saying and what teachers you need to hire, this is an Ivy school. How they can't get your training in 2 weeks?
Actually, we've scheduled training for early September, because the IB program is changing some of its requirements. And so they have offered to come in early September to provide some training, which will help.
I'll also note I did check with Brian on the question of IB and whether we can stay IB under these circumstances, and he said yes. will be able to stay in Ivy World School. So he just, I got a note from him earlier today.
And then I know right now the focus is to fill the school and get the kids back. At some point, are you going to grow the school up to 12th grade?
No, the intent was never to grow it to 12th grade. You know, we're fairly new in this process. You have great schools around here. For those that fit and can go back to their original high schools or wherever they go now, they'll continue to do that. The intent wasn't to open a second arts high school, not at all. We're producing professional development, but no, that's not the intent. The focus really is to strengthen what's here. There's still a lot of building that can be done, aside from increasing enrollment, which we hope to do, but there's still a lot of building just within the program and within aspects of integration that will take place here.
She may be referring to the fact that a few years ago that they were talking about extending to 12th grade.
I just think keeping it stable, consistent. If there were any, I wouldn't stand here and tell you what's going to happen, but if there's any strategic change in this, in Crosswinds, it would be with a process, with parent, with student, with staff, and with board input. That would take more than just someone thinking it's a good idea. It would take quite a process to do that, and in partnership with the local school districts too. And part of the thing I'd look at is, are students successful when they leave here? I suspect they are. And that's what's important, that's what we watch for. Much like at the Arts High, when they leave as seniors, are they successful after they leave? Because if they're not, we haven't done our job. So part of it will be having them feel secure and strong and confident enough to know where they fit when they leave here. That's why options are so good, having plenty of options.
Now, not to be devil's advocate, but there is still a chance that Herbert Center's option to renew next year could fail.
I didn't hear that question.
No. Absolutely. Really on a roller coaster. Absolutely. This last year with the kids where they're going to go and what to do.
Yes.
That's
the hard part. That's the hard part. Do you take risk and assume it's going to continue? I'm a risk taker. I'm a calculated risk taker. I know the legislative process. I know where we stand within the system. The question is, we have a one-year management agreement. It's not a guarantee of next year and next year. Although, again, if you listen to the board, much of their questions dealt with 3, 4, 5 years from now, which I gladly accepted. I truly feel without question, especially in the House, when we went through legislation in the House where the same political aspects didn't exist in the House of Representatives. You know, a bill goes through the House, goes through the Senate, and then they collaborate. It didn't go through any of the Senate process at all, other than a senator authored the bill and people signed on to it, and then the person in charge of education refused to hold a hearing. And protocol is such that if that person doesn't move, it doesn't go anywhere. Whereas in the House, it went through all of the committees, and these are good-sized committees, 4 committees, starting with E12 education. And it's, you know, all legislators, Democrat, Republican, and other. And in all 4 committees, there was only 1 vote against Purpich. And that's an individual who always votes against. She has very different views on education. And so that's not unexpected. But, and so total strong bipartisan support. So I'm optimistic. I think that I would have had a hard time stepping in to agreeing to a management agreement, knowing that we're taking the full risk, and we are, we're gonna tax staff a bit. I would have had a hard time ethically doing that if I didn't feel that the bigger picture existed and that we would continue, because we're going to put a lot of professional development and things into this program. And I also have no doubt that those who have been involved with Crosswinds, be they legislators that came to these meetings last week or parents, you know it's successful. And our intent is to let everyone know that it's successful.
My name is Susan Larson, and I'm a Crosswinds parent. I'm also a member of the Brook Center Board of Directors, so I would say one thing, but
you need to start.
Oh, sorry. Do you want me to start over?
No.
I would say one thing. The Board of Directors of the Purpose of the Arts is just unwavering in their commitment to this program, so I feel strong confidence in the future. The other thing I will say that we did not see a year ago was a really strong commitment from the EMIT board and from our legislators. So even if, and I can't imagine a scenario, but even if a year from now it seemed like Purpose wouldn't move forward, that would only be because there would be another way. So I have absolute 150% confidence that Crosswinds is here to stay. And I know that because of the leadership from Purpose, from the state, and from EMIT now to make that happen.
So in the coming legislative session, what can be done to kind of overcome the passive-aggressive nature of this and ensure there's movement?
Well, what can be done to overcome some of the Senate issues, he said, in the legislative session? And that is a very valid, important question. And I think that part of it is we've started the legislative agenda, that legislators that were really upset with the fact that there was not a hearing. It doesn't work for someone to say, well, the Senate didn't hold a hearing because they had so many questions. Well, that's why you hold a hearing. And I think that among a number of Senate leaders, they were upset that not even a hearing was held. So I think that you'll see it differently, and part of it is starting differently. It will start as a capital bonding bill. This is a bonding session coming up. Every other year it's biennial funding. And this first year, with all of these new legislators and with the leadership of the full legislature, their agenda was packed. It was absolutely packed with a number of issues. It won't be the same this coming session. That funding year is always the most difficult, because it's everyone asking for money. That's when they do the two-year budget. In between, they do what's called capital bonding. So that's the building programs, and albeit certainly has its own controversies because you're committing monies to brick and mortar and other things. It's their main things that they wanted to get passed, they got passed. And so it's a whole different flavor to the session. And we have legislators that remind me of my old puppy that wouldn't leave my leg alone. We have legislators who will not go away. They are so committed to this and so concerned about how integration dollars are being spent, have been spent, that they want success. And they have been absolutely marvelous in indicating that they will carry this forward. And I have a number of meetings that will take place through the summer with other leaders. So we'll keep moving it forward.
You have to then get it through the House again?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And Representative Alice Hausman, who some of you know, she's from St. Paul, she's head of capital bonding in the House. And as I said, Leroy Stump from Plummer, Minnesota, is head of capital bonding in the Senate. And he has always been a very strong Purpose supporter. I feel bad for individuals like that were caught in the middle of this. I feel very badly for them, and I think they'll be somewhat relieved that this action has taken place, because it takes an awful lot off of their backs. And I also think, with due respect to South Washington County, you know, I met with the superintendent early in this process to see what we might be able to work out together. And, you know, he has, to get a free building is one thing. To find out that you might not get a free building is another. And I think that he will move on accordingly, and I think that I don't want to speak for him, but I would guess that there's somewhat of relief as well. It shouldn't be a free building to anyone, and the purpose that was intended by the original EMID board was good. It was very good. So all we're doing is going back to that same purpose. And the other thing that's different in terms of legislative is that because of the publicity and because of what Crosswinds has gone through, a lot of people are coming out to offer support. It's a groundswell of other kinds of stakeholders, from the former EMIB board members to former school superintendents and to others. So I think that they recognize that when there's a mission, and it's an important mission, and it's working, and you have passion and willingness to lead, they want to get on that bandwagon too. I'm not worried about the legislative session. I wasn't worried about the last one until interference came. You know, I couldn't do much about that, but in the beginning, we got two bills off the ground immediately with authors and bipartisan, and that will continue.
So now, being part of the capital bonding bill, though, aren't we going up against just about any other request by any other legislator to put money into their pet projects?
I'm so glad you asked that. The question was, but in the bonding bill, aren't we going up against other legislators and their projects? And the answer is yes. The difference is our bill is budget neutral. And that's why it was going the way it was, that it made a lot of sense, it was budget neutral, and it will be in capital bonding as well, that it's a budget neutral bill. Do not let this building fall down between now and then. It's that helps. Someone asked me if we were going to build a dormitory. No. Wonderful questions.
Any other questions for Sue? I'll remind you, the next thing that I do want you to stay around for is a little discussion on how we're going to help get the word out. But the questions for Sue.
It's not a question, but you can talk to your legislators. We've learned through this process. We have a voice. They will listen. If you're passionate about this, you can meet with them, you can email them. They're on our side. They want the school to stay open. And you have power. Vote, and you can have to.
Most of them.
Very true. We had 20 legislators in the building last Tuesday for a hearing, which was unheard of. I mean, you just don't see that in a school usually. So, of the roughly 200 in Minnesota, 20 of them were here just a week ago. So,
kind of an off the wall or off something, but. Does the EMID board have a function in the state now? Or are they going to reinvent themselves?
That's a very, very good question. Does the EMID board have a function? Yes, they do. And part of it will be reinventing themselves. What they want is they will still be, you have to, in order to get integration dollars, you have to be suburban schools connected to an urban school. They want the integration dollars because aside from Crosswinds and Harambe that didn't get a lot of the integration dollars, the school districts get individual integration dollars. And in order to do that, they still have to have a program. And what they wish to do is to be able to offer professional development throughout their 10-member districts. And I applaud that. I think that, again, recognizing that they don't want to manage schools is okay, but you don't have to close it in order to move it out. But there'll still be an integration district. There are three of them in Minnesota in the Twin City area. Good question. Was it off the wall?
So was the last, and maybe this is not necessary to know, or I missed it in another session, but. Was the school not maximizing its integration dollars, applying for its integration dollars, or falling down on the paperwork as far as claiming the integration dollars? Because I can't imagine who would deserve it more than us and the other two solely integration schools in
That's kind of a question for Emich, but it's my understanding. Yes, why don't you answer that?
Yeah.
Over a year ago, part of the reason we're in the funding crunch and the program changed, you know, and some after school went away was because the EMID board decided not to put most of the integration money toward the schools. The only integration money that comes to the school, even now, this week under EMID, is money that your kid kind of brings along in their backpack, their little bit of integration money. It used to be that that part of being the EMID collaborative was that the integration money going to those whole districts was shared with EMID for the schools. No longer. Now the integration money for the whole district is shared with EMID so that EMID can spend it back on those districts, not on the schools. So currently, the only money that comes that's integration money to Crosswinds is the little bit that your student earns, right? That money is money that Purpich will get as well. But the bigger pot of integration money hasn't been coming to the schools for the last year or so and won't come to the schools with Purpich. And that's a separate, but another argument that we can take to the legislature to ask them why is that and what better use, as you said, for
because
this kind of money.
That's a huge dollar amount.
Right, but that's a different matter. Yeah. The fact that EMID did that is not going to change the situation for Crosswinds under Purpich. But I think it is something that as we go to the legislature and talk about integration in general, it's a question to ask for them. And in fact, that's why they had the hearing here last week, was to ask some of that question. They were asking that themselves. So.
Yeah, through the process, legislators became very concerned as to how EMID was spending integration dollars.
Yes.
Is it
about standing integration? I want to picture where you're going. Can that be explained just a little more? Think about expanding integration when you're talking about expanding.
Oh, good point.
The building.
You know, the whole purpose was to have voluntary integration. And one of the benefits of being a state agency is that there are four state agencies, they're called councils of color, that exist, and they've existed for a long time. And I met with the director of the Chicano Latino community, and he didn't know anything about Crosswinds. So when I look at the councils of color, I think that everyone needs to know that this school exists. And so our hope is to be able to expand even more so, so that these students have a safe and good place to be and to learn. And so we'll work with the councils of color and with other groups to really infuse even greater diversity here. Integration with diversity, not just numbers. Shannon.
I feel the need to explain to some people who haven't been at a bunch of these meetings why there are this little corporate voter who are laughing at moments that may seem really inappropriate. It's because we have lived this nightmare. We've been fighting this thing for 3 years, and it's as absurd as it seems. I mean, how completely ridiculous that they did that. And sorry, we don't mean to be disrespectful. It's just like it is that nuts. And so I just thought it's actually.
Well, we thank you for your efforts. For those of us who can't be at the meetings, or
yeah, oh, you're welcome. But I just we seem like a little giggly bunch over here. I'm sorry. It's just been oh god, it's been such a crazy past.
It was a real slap in the face for the EMA board to try to. Why are these schools to run without funding?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And none of us really understood how they could possibly have the authority to do it, but they did it, and now that's why the legislators are getting involved.
Well, and hopefully, because I do know that, you know, I work with WEMAP over on the west side, which is West Metro Education Program, which is basically Crosswinds on the west
side,
in Crystal and Minneapolis, and they get fully a fifth of their budget from integration dollars. So we are talking a huge amount of money out there that if Crosswinds hasn't been getting their fair share, makes a huge impact in the program.
Right.
Yeah. budget of a school, you know, you don't think of hundreds, you can talk to millions of dollars that is not flowing here. And we are doing the mission that the integration dollars are meant to be spent on.
Right.
I want to just break in for a moment. This conversation is vital and will go on. If you stay for the working meeting, we're going to have more talk about that, and also future meetings. What I want to make sure we wrap up right now so that we can get on and let people go home on Sunday afternoon is Crosswinds is living on. It'll be open in the fall. Is there any other question you want to ask Sue while we've got her about the fall and what you need to know? Because I'd like to make sure we get on to how you can let others know this message and then let us go home today, and we'll this integration conversation is, believe me, a big one that we're going to keep engaging. But is there any other question for Sue? Yeah.
Can I just ask, even though I don't have a student, are the hours going to stay the same? Or, you know, with the busing and all that?
Yeah, I really don't expect to change, so I don't have my bus license yet, but I don't We're working with the same company that takes care of that now. So I think that, again, to me, what's most imperative for the students is consistency of them. Students deserve that.
When will the calendar be available so we can plan for quarter breaks?
Well, I suspect that a skeleton calendar with just the dates, but not all of the information, but the dates, should probably happen fairly soon. I'll talk tomorrow to Brian.
Brian, in fact, had a calendar ready that he mentioned to CCP last week. So I think it's just around the corner that we'll have the calendar for
Thanks.
The next year.
I'd like to close with one thought, in that as you hear Shannon explaining that parents and EBID and the Nucleus group have been involved in this for such a long time, and it has been hard, realize that some of the staff members have too. And so if they must leave because they simply need to do so, allow them to do that. My guarantee is that we will, and what I told the teachers especially, is that we will carry on what they started. And that's, again, one of the benefits of PERPIDGE and the professional development that we do. We will carry on the culture and community. That's something we fully understand. In the Arts High School, we joke, when North Central Accreditation came in last with the Arts High School, and we had our outtake meeting, they said, we've never seen such strong relationships between teachers and staff and students. And I said, I know, that's the problem. When they graduate, we have to say, now get out of here, go. Because they don't want to go. And that's why we understand the characteristics of Crosswinds and how to make certain that it's feeling productive and safe. It's feeling like you want to go to school, and we will make certain that continues. So thank you so much for everything you've done. And I think you know how to reach me, or Eric does. Feel free to call with any questions you may have. I hope to see all of you here in August when we reopen.
Thank you.